Okay, 4:30, we'll start the meeting of the Park and Rec Committee. Director Porter, are you on the line with us? Is that yes? Director Porter, are you there?
Tell her to unmute if she's trying to talk.
For those members of the audience listening in, if you could please mute your phones for the time being. Director Porter?
Yes, I apologize, I'm just hopping on.
Thank you. We're about to start then, we'll take a roll call.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. So if there's any member of the public that wishes to address the board on any matter that is not on the agenda, here's your opportunity to unmute your phone and please speak up. If you could identify yourself and let us know. Now's your time.
This is Dennis Allen. I'd like to address the committee if you wouldn't mind.
Please go ahead, Dennis.
Okay. First off, thank you for allowing me to address you. I'm an active member of the DB Pickleball Club and would like to address the community center gate locking situation. Currently the gate gets locked at 5:30 weekdays and 4:30 on weekends. It is currently daylight till 6 o'clock and is getting later every day. As a person who still works for a living, I find it very frustrating to not be able to use the courts or the dog park or the tennis courts till dark, and would ask that the town change it and perhaps even leave it unlocked. I believe before the town got the community center from the developer, it was not locked. I could be wrong in that though. I have spoke to Monica and Mike and got different reasons as to why it is locked at all. I understand the volunteer aspect and even offered to volunteer, but was told I could not because I was not an employee of the city, which kind of seemed odd because it supposedly is volunteers. I would hope we could do away with the gate, but if not, at least keep it open till dark. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Dennis. We'll definitely take note of that. Is there any other members of the public that wishes to address the board? Hearing none, then we will close public comments and we'll go to draft minutes approval. Can I get a motion to approve the draft minutes?
I make a motion to approve the draft minutes.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, let's move on to presentations.
It's just an update on that I have for the committee, in that on we currently have expanded the hours to the community center to go till 5:30. We will expand that on weeknights. We will expand that to 6 p.m. once it starts getting lighter, staying light later. If we open it up now at 6 o'clock, for example, close it at 6, by the time the employee has cleared the park, it's dark, and we're not going to have the employees back there dark. And so, but we are also going to, as lightness allows, on the Wednesdays where we have board meetings, we will keep the grounds open until the board meetings conclude, or when it gets dark, whichever comes first. So that'll be on the first and third Wednesdays.
Got it.
So I'll have expanded hours. That concludes my update.
Thank you. Dennis, hope you heard that. Is there any public comments regarding the presentation, the Park and Recs, about the expanded hours? All right, hearing none, then we'll move forward to discussion item E1. Hello, Bill.
Hello. On the line, I have Rochelle Johnson. She's the special districts manager at the county that we work with. And she's going to talk a little bit about the zone finances and reserve amounts. Rochelle?
Hi. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes? Great, thank you. Thank you for having me and making time. I look forward to a time that we can see one another face to face. We have this landscape maintenance agreement in place since 2008. It is an agreement that was set to renew on an annual basis. The areas that we are maintaining are for Zone 35, Zone 57, and Zone 61. And one of the things that we are mindful of is that in addition to landscape maintenance, that we do like to have enhancement projects that probably fit in all of our zones, in Discovery Bay and elsewhere throughout the county and within our district. So one of the things that we're really excited by is that last year the county had an opportunity to sit down with the town and to create a project list. We realized we had been can you hear me okay?
I do. There's a lot of background noise. Rochelle, hold on a second. If there's any member of the audience listening, if you could please mute your phone. Thank you. Go ahead, Rochelle. I'm sorry.
Thank you. We had been working with the town to create a project list for all three of the zones. And what we realized is that we had not been able to identify projects that were needed. And so what we do realize is that for zones 35 and 61, we do have adequate funding to develop projects in those areas. And the one zone that is struggling is zone 57. And a big part of that is when the enhancements were made to Regatta Park a few years back, that kind of drained the funds. So where we are now, whereas the assessments that happened for the park are sufficient, we just need to build the fund before we can look at doing any projects out there. However, we have been able to identify limited one-time funds to get some things done, just to kind of bring them up to par. And so with Zone 35, the annual revenue is just under $32,000. For each of the zones, legally, we can retain up to 50% of the annual revenue for an operating reserve. And we do that for emergency purposes. We develop a capital project reserve in each of our zones, and that is to deal with large landscape improvement projects, irrigation projects. In your area, you have a couple bridges, and bridges are pretty expensive to maintain, and they must be inspected on every 3 to 4 years. And so we want to make sure that we're prepared for that. So in Zone 35, the annual revenue is about just under $32,000. That is based, how detailed do you want to be with this? Do you want just kind of big picture where you're standing, or do you want to have some detail?
I think some details, please.
Okay. So that's based on, I think there are 9 parcels commercial that pay into that. So the operating reserve, like I said, we hold that at about 50% of the annual revenue. So the operating reserve that we maintain is about $14,000. We do have room for significant improvements in that area. We have a capital improvement budget of about $263,000. We did recently do bridge inspections. We completed those in 2020, and we're currently scheduling maintenance work based on those inspection reports. And for Zone 57, our annual revenue is about $87,500. There's 379 parcels there. There is no CPI, and my mistake, I meant to say that a CPI is a rate of increase that we apply on an annual basis. And so for Zone 35, we do have a CPI that we can apply. But for Zone 57, we do do not have a CPI. The number of parcels in Zone 57 is 379. The assessment rate is 231 per equivalent dwelling unit. And we currently have an operating reserve of about just under $20,000, $19,897. We do not have a capital project reserve for Zone 57. That was the area that I said we had depleted the fund, and we are currently rebuilding the fund up there. For Zone 61, the annual revenue is $322,000, just a little bit over. There's 1,926 parcels, and the assessment rate is $170 per equivalent dwelling unit. The operating reserve is $124,000, almost $125,000. We do have a capital project reserve of $296,000. $296,585. One of the things that we do is with, especially for Zone 57, we allocate the lion's share of the budget. For this fiscal year, we allocated $63,779 to Discovery Bay for maintenance. We do have to retain some funds for administrative costs and building the budget. So whereas we allocated $63,779, the annual revenue is $87,549. The projects that we're really excited to be able to bring to Discovery Bay, to these three zones, some of them are limited by staff time. So we were able to work together and generate a list of time that we would be able to accomplish this based on funding and staffing resources. And so the projects that we were able to identify in Zone 35 are related to the medians to remove and replace the vegetation and to install a lighted enhancement, possibly bollards, decorative street lighting, and marquee or directional sign. And that's something that that the town is currently investigating. The cost for those enhancements will be about, is estimated to be about $80,000. In Zone 57, there are a number of projects that needed to be done just to kind of enhance the area, but again, there was not sufficient funding. We were able to identify some funds, and the town is actively working on completing those. The projects that were designated were to enhance the vegetation along Highway 4, and that's been completed. Define and enhance shrub beds nearest the playground out at Regatta Park. That was on target to be completed the second quarter. Enhance the areas nearest the barbecue, and that was on target to be completed the second quarter, or at least by the end of the fiscal year. Enhance the front dining area, and that has been moved to next fiscal year. It'll be completed by June 30th of 2022. Stripe and repave the parking lot, and that's scheduled to take place fiscal year 2022-23. This is based on funding that we could identify in the priority project. For this fiscal year, there will be 6 new trash cans installed. The basketball court resurfacing that had been completed, and that was, we were able to allocate some limited funding for that. The larger item that we have to plan for is a new play structure. And the estimated cost for that is about $225,000, and so we're going to possibly look for some grant funding to supplement what we have, but with the annual revenue that we have of $87,000, knowing that we have to continue with regular maintenance, that's just going to be a challenge for us to get to, but it doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means that we have to examine different options or just plan a reserve specifically for that. And let's see, one of the items that we did include for this fiscal year is the parking areas in the zone need enhancement to a dry scape using drought-tolerant, low-maintenance plant material and drip irrigation on sailboat and yacht and the two other entrances. All of those enhancements are to Regatta Park, and those are estimated to be about $290,000, including that $225,000 for the new play structure. In addition to those enhancements in Zone 35, there were some street enhancements, estimated at about $58,400. That's to enhance all three entrances to the community, including the median on Porthole Drive and the two other entrances. And then I noted the vegetation on Highway 4. And then we talked about an illuminated informational sign, but that one's going to take some budgeting. And so what we would be looking at doing is allocating $7,000 a year until we can build up the anticipated cost of about $40,000 for that. And then the projects that we have for Zone 60. Hello?
We're still here.
Okay. The projects that we have identified for Zone 61 include Cypher Park as well as streets. And so at Cypher Park, we are looking at the basketball court should be redone for an enhanced playing surface. Enhancements near the barbecue area and benches along the path. Enhancements nearest the basketball court. And those costs are estimated to be about $59,500. For the streets, there's a plan to resurface the park and ride turf and small lawns on Bixler to minimize maintenance. And on Bixler Avenue, needs a street tree additions from the park and ride north to Point of Timber, and we're the cost of the estimated cost of that is pending. The enhanced Preston and Point of Timber intersection moved to the more to the street, and the last one for that area is Newport Drive replacement of underperforming trees. That includes some pepper trees and locust trees from Newport Drive north to Bixler. The estimated cost for those enhancements are about $20,000. The total enhancements for Zone 61 are currently about $79,000, just under $80,000. One of the things that we are mindful of is aging infrastructure of irrigation systems. And that's one of the things that Bill is looking into is where do we stand with irrigation, because we know that that can be a really costly item. So we want to make sure that we're prepared for those costs. And we're definitely, we can anticipate being able to take care of irrigation as needed at Slifer. We do have a concern for Zone 57, but we do want to be prepared for it and to budget for it accordingly. And I think that's the information that I have. Are there any questions?
Well, it's definitely a very lofty list you have. I know it's Rochelle.
Okay.
Sorry, question for you, Rochelle. You had mentioned you gave some revenue numbers. As an example, Zone 35 is about $32,000 in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't take into account the annual maintenance fee that is paid to the town of Discovery Bay to maintain those areas, correct? That's subtracted from
that. No, that's just the revenue. And so for fiscal year 2020-21, we budgeted an allocation of $20,000. Like I said, we do maintain a bit for admin cost as well as reserve cost. So we retained
$11,000. Rochelle, I have a question. This is Dina Brightstein with the town. The enhancements that you just detailed out, are they in the engineer's report or a budget document? Is there some place where we can pull that information from?
They're in the engineer's report.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Director Porter, do you have any questions?
No, Dina just asked my question, so I was going to ask if they're detailed out somewhere so we can look at it on, printed format, but that's the answer. Thank you.
Any members of the public, do you have any comments that you'd like to address on this issue? Okay, hearing none. So since there's no action, I was just
Effort.
Just introduction, I think, and kind of sharing what's going on and how we're proceeding. And that we do, we're really excited. I think Bill and I share enthusiasm, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we have some projects identified and we have the funding identified to make those happen. So in a couple small cases, we do have to build the reserve. We have to build the funds to support larger projects, but I'm confident that we have a path to do so.
Bill?
Thank you, Rochelle. I appreciate the information. We'll be in touch.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Yep. Thank you very much. Very informative.
Okay.
And encouraging.
Bye-bye. Do you need anything else from me?
I don't think so.
Nope. Okay, thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, the important thing to remember is every dollar that's taken for a CIP project is less dollar for maintenance.
It sounded like your goals were lofty compared to the...
Well, the goals are, but while they're building all these CIP projects, and they're dedicating all of this money, that leaves you with whatever's left over to try to maintain the park, and that runs out before the end of the fiscal year. And it is not a flexible budget at times.
That's a problem.
Yep.
Okay, let's move forward to E2. Monica Gallo.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Staff met with Discover Bay Recreation and Sports, or DBRS, to discuss their fundraising efforts in regards to enhancements at the pickleball courts here at the community center. DBRS is requesting to place a 4-foot by 12-foot tough shed at the north end of the waiting area of the pickleball courts, and there should be a diagram in your packet there you can take a look at. This would be a removable structure, is not affixed to the surface of the courts or fencing, and the tough shed would be purchased and owned by DBRS. Conditions of approval and rules would, rules in use would be subject to staff approval and a written agreement. Let's see here. Staff has no issues with the request by DBRS, however, would like the committee to be aware that once the tough shed, should it ever be removed, that there would be surface discoloration due to sun fading. So we've got a couple of topics here. That's the first one. The second is that Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports is requesting the use of a few freestanding canopies or shade structures, the pop-up shade structures, to use during their playtime. That would be taken, put up and taken down each use just to provide shade in the waiting area for their players. Staff has no issue with this request if it complies with staff's conditions of approval and rules of use. The next item is that DBRS would like to purchase benches with mounting hardware and donate these to the town. The town would then install the benches. Staff has no issues with this request. However, careful placement, we just want to note, would need to be taken into consideration because once those benches are permanently put in place, they would not be able to be moved to accommodate a future shade structure. The town benches would be subject to town approval. Lastly, DBRS is very excited to continue fundraising for eventually to put in a permanent shade structure to be installed somewhere in the future, and they're just going to continue fundraising for that later on down the road. Do you have any questions? I do also have, I believe, Bob Wyman. Are you on the phone? No. He was going to try and attend just in case you had any questions.
But I could take these one at a time.
I'm sorry?
Take them one at a time.
One at a time, okay. So the first topic of discussion
is the tough shed.
You got it.
So don't they already have a tough shed, or don't we gave them a shed?
They have two contractor's boxes out there.
Okay.
Those would be removed, so they would just have one, the one shed.
But the current contractor boxes are not on the court.
One is in the waiting area, so we need to kind of define that. I think some people, when you say courts, think of the whole surface. But there is a waiting area where the gate is that you enter. So the current, one of them is placed at the same place they're suggesting, the north end of the waiting area. They have a second one that's outside the court where we have some other sheds, a tennis shed and a town shed.
Those would
be removed.
Going back to the court definition.
Yes.
Are you saying the court is anywhere where the ball is in play?
Correct.
And the waiting area is the outside the ball and play area?
Well, it's still inside the fencing.
Okay.
There's actually a diagram. So if you look, that'll explain a little more. I can show you if you'd
like. And I'm not trying to get hung up on
this. No, that's okay. I don't want later there to be any confusion on, anybody court versus waiting area. So court is considered, so the whole thing is the surface, right?
But the request currently is to remove the two boxes they have and replace those with one in a different location.
In the same location as one of the boxes.
As one of the boxes.
Yeah, the two black boxes are in different locations.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is on the court surface itself within the perimeter fencing.
Correct.
One of the boxes.
Yes.
Got it. So the question is then...
Well, what we're looking for is a recommendation, because we feel this should go before the board, but a recommendation from the Park and Rec Committee on, do you believe or grant or recommend to allow DBRS to have this 4 foot by 12 foot by, I think you can walk into this thing the way it looks in the picture, on the courts itself. We don't have an issue with it, but if you approve this, one, you're allowing DBRS Sports to do this.
Got it.
Two,
other groups might want to come in and also want to.
Well, there's an issue there. So the other thing is the discoloration of the courts. But, you know, this could be up there for years. Who knows? And then we would only allow it subject to conditions of and rules of use.
Okay. Is there a reason it has to go? Go ahead, Ashley.
Sorry, I just have a quick question. Do we have process procedure, like, on who we allow to do this, I guess? My question would be, if we allow this group to do it, we would have to allow other groups to do something similar, correct?
The answer to that question is that would be a conundrum. We don't have a policy regarding that, and so the issue is going to be somebody that comes in and challenges, why are you letting DBRS do this and not letting us do that? And so we would have to address that issue at that time, and that could be a difficult issue if it arises.
I'm sorry, I have one more question. As far as like liability and concerns, I know it's a tough shed, I'm assuming it's probably going to be locked, but if something were to happen to that, or stuff was stolen out of that for whatever reason, who is liable for that?
It would be part of the agreement and conditions of approval and rules of use that we would that they'd have to assume all liability and for anything that occurs as a result of the tough shed being there, as well as a waiver for the town so that we're not responsible for any damage, theft, loss, marring, etc. We would also make a condition of use that it be installed or placed in a way that doesn't mar, cut, scratch, or any way damage the surface of the court, other than, of course, sun fading discoloration.
So is there a reason why this new box can't go where one of their existing boxes was outside the court area?
It would fit there. We could certainly, that could be your recommendation. We could...
I believe it's a matter of convenience for DBRS. Yes, it can be put out, but their preference is that it's not. They want to be able to have access without having to go outside the perimeter fencing. If, you know, I hate to speak for them, or if somebody's on the phone from that group, maybe they can highlight it better.
Let's go ahead and open up to public comment.
Yeah, I got here now at 5, so I guess you guys, either my clock's wrong or... Anyway, we would very much like it there because it's, when we're in normal operation, now, of course, with COVID, we have not been, but we, you know, the we have a, we don't really call it, but there's a parks or a court committee that has keys and opens it every time we play and gets things out of there and use it as the, you know, so we don't have to carry things from around the fence and out. So we would hope that that we would be allowed to send it at the end where the other box is. We would, we, of course, we've removed the box that's there now and replaced that with this.
Okay. Is there any other people?
Hey.
Perfect. Is there any other public comment? All right, well, then.
I discussion between you and Ashley.
Yeah.
Or Director Porter, excuse me.
Dr. Porter?
I'm here, Ryan.
Any thoughts? Would you like to.
I think you just asked my questions. I would think, you know, whatever we decide to do, I think we need to be consistent. And if, you know, we're allowing one group to do it, we need to make sure that we're going to be willing to do that for other groups as well, looking future. I also think that, you know, I guess I'm torn on the side of doing it in the court and out of the court. I know we've just spent quite a bit of money to resurface those courts and make them really nice. You know, I don't know if having that on the court is going to do any damage to that court other than some damage, and if that's a big deal or not.
I guess I would comment that, of course, it's on the same surface as the court, but it's not on the court. You know, it's not on court clay, and never will be, because that area is not ever going to be court clay. It's a waiting area.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Sorry, I was confused. I thought it was going. Okay, that's my confusion. I thought it was going on the court area and not the waiting area, but it's going to be placed in the waiting area.
Yes, it's in the waiting area. There won't be anything, you know, on the courts except the players and the balls and that sort of thing.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm a little torn because we were already allowed to place a box there to begin with. And so...
This is it's a larger structure.
That's
a
point.
If staff does not necessarily have an objection to it, then I'm okay with it if you're okay with it, Director Porter.
I feel the same way, Brent. If you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. I think we need to be conscientious of, you know, making sure that we're willing to allow them for other groups as well.
This is on the agenda to go before the board this evening as well.
What's the life replacement of the courts? 5 years, 7 years before we have to do it again?
Well, we had the back courts resurfaced about 7 years ago, and they're in about need of it. So I'm not a court expert, but based on what we did about 7 years ago, 6 years ago, it's time. So 5 to 7 years, okay. I suppose.
We have, you know, in our plans of fundraising, our goal is to resurface the courts every 5 to 7 years.
Well, I think it's a great goal, assuming,
you know,
assuming you guys are still around in 5 to 7 years. Groups come and go.
Well, that's true. You know, I guess the interest that we've seem to have generated by building the course is pretty enthusiastic. And there's, I got another call today from somebody that, you know, wants to come and learn. And of course, unfortunately, we're not running training right now because of COVID. So we, you know, we explained to her to come out and learn. She's a tennis player that wants to try it, but she has never played. So.
Well, don't get me wrong. I love the partnership. I love the partnership that we have with you guys. I think it's great that we're doing things together, and it's ultimately it's good for the community. So I see it as a win-win.
I agree with that. Agreed.
Sounds like we're in agreement at this point. We'll go ahead and move forward to the next item.
Okay, thank you. Make note of that. So the second would be they're requesting the use of one or more of the canopies in the picture, which are the traditional pop-up shade. Those would be just to, not up there all the time. They would put them up and take them down, store them in the shed once that is in place. And again, Steph has no issue with this. We would come up with some conditions and approval of rules of use.
Yeah, I just
imagine. We'd like your feedback on.
Just as long as they're not nailing into the concrete and they're using anti-wind devices so they don't go blowing.
Yeah, and part of one of the, I would think the in the conditions of approval would be the same as Mike had mentioned earlier, that whatever the surfaces needs to be to protect the court, no denting, scratching, marring of the surface.
Director Porter, do you have any further comments on the canopies?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Thank you. The third item is benches. They would like to purchase the benches and brackets for installation. Town staff would do the installing of them. Those would go in that waiting area that I was referring to. They would be permanent structures there. So again, we just want to note that staff would also approve what benches are ordered. But there will have to be very careful consideration as far as placement of them, because any future permanent shade structure would have to be placed around them.
Well, I think it's a great idea that they're able to come up with the money to do this.
We do as well.
Director Porter?
I agree. I think it's a great idea, too. I think, you know, it's very great for them to fundraise this money and help to give back to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're very excited about it. The last thing that's not for really just kind of something we wanted to bring to your attention is that they are, after these things are done, they're very ambitious and want to work on raising money for that final permanent shade structure. So just kind of plant the seed that that's something that will also be in the works.
Fantastic.
Okay. Sounds good.
Any more public comments regarding this topic?
No, except we're excited about getting it done and look forward to it.
Thank you.
So this will still, like, I just want to reiterate, we'll go before the board for final approval
okay.
This evening.
Perfect.
Okay, well, thanks.
All right, last. Cornell Park. Bathrooms.
So staff has received some requests from the general public. Stand by. Pardon me. Staff has received some requests by the general public to open up the park bathrooms and drinking fountains at Cornell Park, and which have been closed since the onset of COVID. CDC recommendations for opening up the bathrooms is that they be sanitized on a daily basis and that they be stocked on a daily basis, and that all the equipment is working, the toilets, the sinks, etc. So I'll go back in history for just a little bit and let you know that we had professional janitorial services cleaning the Cornell bathrooms and the water fountains twice a week. And we had issues with it only being twice a week. where we found that the bathrooms were not only being used by park users, that there was extensive use being done by delivery drivers, construction workers, people that didn't live in the area, and they would use that as kind of the town bathroom for visitors and everybody else that didn't have a house to go to. And we found that the care of the bathrooms were a problem to the point that people were heavily complaining about it. And we had to redirect the landscaping staff to go and check the bathrooms on a daily basis. And they would find overflowing toilets with matter in it, biohazard matter in it, overflowing where it's been stuffed up and blocked urinals with hazardous material in it. And they would have to go in there and spray it down with a sprayer, and it took quite a bit of time. And so that's what had to be done. Staff had to supplement the janitorial services. Now that janitorial service cost about $720 a month to clean those bathrooms only twice a week. So staff is, as general manager, I'm not sending. If we decide to open up these bathrooms, I'm not going to send our staff in there to supplement any cleaning, especially now with COVID, and then you add the already biohazard potential dangers there. So we don't have the time, the energy, the personnel, or the training and the PPE equipment to go do this on a daily basis, nor do we have the time really to divert landscapers away from landscaping duties to go do this. So staff, if the position of the Park and Rec Committee and ultimately the board is to open these bathrooms, that means we need to have a janitorial service come in 7 days a week. And we've gotten two bids, and we've gotten a third bid. Unfortunately, it's not coming in until tomorrow. But we've gone from $720 a month to $1,800 a month is the cheapest so far to do that 7 day a week one-time cleaning. And the county has opened up their bathrooms, and they do it, of course, twice a day. That's not necessary. So they're doing, in addition to CDC's a recommendation of at least once a day. The problem with opening up the bathrooms at all, also consider, in addition to the increased expense, is to consider who's in that park. And so we hear from adults in the community, let's open up the bathrooms. But there's another side of the community that's the parent that whose children are out there on skateboards going through the park. They're riding their bikes and walking the dogs. And you have these 9 to 13, 14-year-old kids that are not necessarily supervised. And do the parents really want them to have access to those bathrooms in terms of the potential bacteria or stuff that develops after the cleaning? So that's a consideration. Lastly, coming back to the cost for a second, we probably do have the remaining, because since we haven't been paying for bathroom costs at all during the course of this fiscal year so far, none of those monies have been spent. So we do have enough to pay the increased cost in janitorial to finish out the rest of this fiscal year, if that's where you want to spend all that money. But for the new fiscal year, we don't really have enough money to budget at the higher rate to last the entire fiscal year. So we would end up opening them up and then potentially closing them again during the latter part of the fiscal year ahead of us. So a little difficult explanation, but staff's recommendation is that we don't open them up at this time. We're still in COVID, and the expense is gone up. Are there any questions?
Quite a jump.
Yeah.
Quite a jump.
Our second bid, by the way, so that was our cheapest, $1,800 a month. The next one was $4,200 a month.
Right. So... Director Porter, do you have any clarifying questions?
I don't know if it's a clarifying question or a question beyond that. So we've closed them down for COVID, but has there been any thought about, because of the cost of it, because of the potential, towers that are involved with it, of just closing the bathrooms permanently because of, you know, not just COVID, but I mean, trying to keep a public bathroom clean is, you know, potentially hazard to the public if we're not staying on top of that.
Well, I think that is a serious consideration, you know, in addition to that times have changed, because those bathrooms are open air bathrooms to boot. So you have leaves and branches, and I mean, they are really difficult to maintain. And staff has even discussed trying to put a CIP project potentially together to completely install more user-friendly bathrooms that can be cleaned and be more resistant to vandalism and other kind of destructive things. But that's going to take some money, and that's in the future. But it started to become a real headache for staff before COVID even hit. And we have to make it, none of our other parks, none, not those owned by the county or those owned by us, have bathrooms.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's go ahead and open up to public comment. Is there any members of the public that wish to address this issue?
Yes. It seems to me if you're going to open up the park for tennis, pickleball, basketball, the small, all the baseball and everything else, you have to have restrooms. Otherwise, people are going to go in out in the bushes or something like that. It's unrealistic to not have bathrooms if you're going to have the park open.
Thank you, Terry. Is there any other public comments out there? Okay, hearing none, we'll bring it back. Well, so just like you said, I think it's very telling that most municipalities don't install bathrooms as they build new parks. This is the only park that we do have a bathroom. And you know, maybe we need to look at it in a long-term plan at a future date, what we want to keep those or don't keep those. Certainly my opinion regarding this particular issue is it's the cost factor just beyond our scope to maintain effectively and beyond our capabilities, given the training that would be necessary for staff. So I think we should keep them closed. It's my opinion.
I second that. I would also like to, suggest maybe looking at closing them permanently. Because if it is becoming a headache and an issue, I think that we need to be clear with our communication on this is what we're doing with these restrooms. What are our other parks in the area? Do they have restrooms?
None of our other parks within our jurisdictional boundaries have restrooms. We did bring in a portable restroom during to Ravenswood when we had the splash pad, and that was blown up.
Burned
to the ground.
No. I think it blown up like a lot of people use it.
No, this was burned down to the ground where, and we ended up paying for that cost because it was rented, and we ended up having to pay for that vandalism. And unfortunately, that's what happens in these restrooms is they become vandalized, misused, plugged up, etc. I also failed to address the issue with the water fountains. We could open up the water fountains and post a sign saying not sanitized, but we called the county on that, and even though the county has opened up bathrooms in their area that they clean twice a day, they still have told us regarding the water fountains in Discovery Bay in their parks, do not open them up, keep them closed. So I don't think we really want to do something that variants that the county's not doing. It kind of leaves us open if something happens potentially.
No, I agree with you, Mike.
So we recommend that stay closed too.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that as well.
All right, well, we don't really need a vote, and I'm going to make this part of my general manager's comments of the recommendation and that from the Park and Rec Committee, and see what kind of consensus comes from the board at tonight's meeting. So thank you all very much.
Thank you. Well, that sounds like a for a future agenda item, then maybe we look at it as, again, on a long-term plan. Okay, with that then...
you're talking about bathrooms, could I ask a question about the community center and not what's going on today, but in the future, will the public be able to use the bathroom that's in the community center, you know, the pickleball and tournament and tennis playing group?
If there's a pickleball tournament, we should probably look at, you know, either opening up the bathrooms for use during the tournaments in the community center. It depends on COVID restrictions, et cetera, staff availability, the ability to monitor and protect the interests inside the building. But potentially part of the conditions of the pickleball play may be bringing in temporary bathrooms.
Yeah, for the tournament, I understand that, for certainly for the tournament, but I was thinking about just general play.
No, because we have to come in and clean it, and we don't have janitorial service right now for inside the building.
Well, no, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about hopefully one of these days we're going to get past this COVID thing and things will become more open, and I haven't paid attention to what we've done in the past before.
Yep. Once we open the building back up, all the facilities will be open to the public.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, 5:21, meeting adjourned. Thank you.